Thank you. This country should say, first, when we read this passage, the power of Buddha Dhamma is revealed depending on whether or not there is help for it, and differs depending on whether or not it is possible. This is this translation says. The power, well, literally, the power is the majestic light or illumination, majestic brilliance, or majestic light, illumination of the Dhamma. So next, I want to say Ritva. The majestic brilliance of Buddha Dhamma is revealed depending on whether or not depending on whether or not we are protected. And if we're depending on whether or not it is possible. Okay. Let me say, the majestic brilliance of Buddha Dhamma is revealed depending on whether or not you are protected, and differs depending on whether or not it is practiced. So majestic brilliance of Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma means the Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma means that the person who digests the Dhamma, the truth, in other words, the universal perspective of human life. A person who digests human life based in the universal perspective. At that time, this person is called Buddha. So, Buddha Dhamma means that the Dhamma, which is alive, or the Dhamma in which is alive in the person, in the person's life. That is Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma. That is here is the purification I mentioned differently from a different perspective. The Dhamma is existence itself before you think or you are conscious, before you advance yourself. That is life, existence in reality as it is. That is is dominating. So what it just is, I think.
Phenomenon.
Phase basic nature of phenomenon. Before you think. It's existence of phenomenon. So complete beyond your sense, your receptive sense, your speculation, phenomena is that it exists. It's called Dhamma. So that's why it is. Phenomena is that called Dhamma, and also the original nature of phenomena is also Dhamma. So the original nature of phenomena is the truth itself. And also that truth is exactly the original nature of phenomena itself. Exactly, not separate. That is called Buddha Dhamma. If you say, if you use the physical terms, that is Buddha Dhamma. So you think you are real. So that Buddha Dhamma is, practically speaking, nothing but
your life. As it really is. Before you perceive, or before you find in touch. That is total picture of your existence. Exactly. That is called Buddha. Buddha nature. We are Buddha nature. We are supported. We are protected by the truth. Okay? So this is not only human beings, not only the enlightened person or unenlightened person. It doesn't matter. This, Buddha nature or truth, anyway, extend, and prevail over all sentient beings. Okay? You understand? So from this point, all sentient beings are already protected, supported, and helped by truth. That is by truth. So, from this point, the Buddha Dhamma always gives forth light. Light. Which makes everything clear. So-called existence. And majestic means completely beyond your speculation. It is very still there. It is something exists exactly there, but you don't see it. But even though you don't see it, it exists. It's majestic. If you see the mountains, which is different from human beings, but mountains really life, alive, every moment. But you don't see it. But even though you don't see it, mountain is constantly alive. Waiting with the skies, the weathers, and the trees, birds, all sentient beings. That's why mountains, anyway, give forth its own life, complete beyond human speculation. How can I call it? It's called majestic. Majestic light. Majestic. Brilliance. Well, maybe everyone has a majestic brilliance.
You know, the spiritual happiness, Delta. We can take a picture of a cow.
Or.
Trillion. So the pure elements has a very odd in the physical nature. So we don't know why they have such a health and the bright light, and we don't know. So it's coming up. But spiritually speaking, it is something more than something you can take a picture in the machine anyway. It's fantastic, brilliant, and brilliant, and majestic, brilliant mass. So that is not only human beings, but from grasses, from the trees, birds, from the airs, from the space and time. Anyway, always majestic greetings come up from that. Then we just right there. So that's why this is called the majestic greetings of Buddha Dhamma. Majestic brilliant Buddha Dhamma is revealed depending on whether or not you are protected. Okay? So this is very important. The way you accept your life in the universal perspective, which is protected by majestic brilliance of existence. At that time, your life becomes, well, fixed. You can let the life flow, life force bloom in you. And, you know, not only in your own life. So, from this point, your life is always protected, supported by the Dhamma. Your heart, your blood, your circulation, your intestine, your colon, anywhere supported by. Not by your effort. Of course, you should take care of the body and mind by your effort, but there is something more than your effort. So you should anyway accept, perceive, and you should be grateful for this. At that time, your life becomes Buddha Dhamma. And from this Buddha Dhamma, majestic brilliance gets forth and helps. This is real help. So, how do you accept your life? You just accept your life in terms of your sense, or you can accept your life in terms of your life and your viewpoint, and also in terms of universal perspective, so-called Buddha Dhamma. So that time, life anyway changing so much for long run, you know. And if you become a very egoistic, constantly without realizing, no matter how long you practice, your life is still egoistic and the ignorance of. But if you accept your life right now, believe or not, accept, enjoy it, practice it, always, and then for the long run, your life changes so much. And you can create big gap between people who receive your life in the universal perspective and people who don't know it. Big gap, like heaven and earth. That's why every day practice is very important. You say, you always say, you don't believe this when you walk. Just walk quiet. This is a Buddhist way. You walk in the brilliance and the majestic brilliance of Buddha Dhamma. Don't believe this, but if you accept your practice like this, you know, not practice you do it. If you accept the practice you do, office, you say it's been formal or ritualistic, and then if I give people my advice, you say that's too much and very rigid, etc. This is already you make your practice small. Very small. That no matter how long you practice, it's too much. And for a long run, you can see the big gap from the person who accepts the practice that he can't be accepting the blue way. Big gap. So that's why Dogen Zen says the power of Buddha Dharma is revealed depending on whether or not you are protected. You are protected already. Okay? So you should do it something in the realm of being protected. And then universe helps you. That is called Buddha helps you. Buddha protects you. But if I say the Buddha protects you, immediately you accept something mysterious. Somewhere Buddha there, and Buddha always watches us and protects. Look at that. That's why next says, depending on whether or not it is perfect. If you don't have it, Buddha doesn't. You cannot see that how much you are protected. You practice, now practice simultaneously, you are protected because it depends on how you can perceive, practice, your practice. In your own takeout, in your own view, or something more than that. And then your life blooms in a different way from us. Exactly. Did you feel this one? If you know a little bit, this is the anyway, that's why the Indian said, you should have very deep aspirations. Very deep aspirations. They should be peaceful and peaceful in your entire whole life. Anyway, because you are already peaceful. And that right here, please practice. Practice is simultaneously, it is not the practice you do it. Practice is, this kind of practice is practice which gurus and teachers have done anyway. From century after century, in order to anyway accept all universe. So that is the last sentence. According to this translation, says you should wish to be serenely composed for your entire life. And to practice the way no intentional. So no intentional means if you just practice like this, you are grow. You grow anyway. You grow. Be sure. That's how you grow. It's very wondering. Very wonderful. Wondering enough. You grow, but you don't understand. But if you practice like that, you will grow. So I want to say one more topic message. And the monkey, I didn't have the book, the record of seeing her. So I don't know. I translate it anyway. But the print and my translation is not good. So anyway, just understand the meaning, okay? First, let me read. There is a place called Dragon Gate in the sea, where big waves frequently rise. It is said that if fishes pass through this place, they undoubtedly become a dragon. Therefore, it is called Dragon Gate. Pondering on it, I realize that the big waves there are not different from them of other places, and water also comes to the face. Wonderingly enough, however, it is sure that fishes having passed become a dragon without fail. They become immediately a dragon without changing their scales and their body at all. A way of our living in the monastery is also like that. The place is not different from other places, but if we get into the monastery, we infallibly become a Buddha and a teacher. We eat food and wear clothes in the same way as others. Although it is the same others do to protect, ourselves from cold and starvation. Having a meal with a shaving head and wearing the robe, we become monks. Becoming a Buddha and a teacher shouldn't be thought or far distant. Whether we enter the monastery or not is just like whether to pass through the Dragon Gate or not. So Dragon Gate. There is a Dragon Gate in the human world. We don't know where it is. That's why in the sea. It's in the sea. It says in the sea. We don't know where. But exactly there is a Dragon Gate anyway. Even though you don't see it, Dragon Gate doesn't exist actually. But for Chinese and anyway, dragon is, you see the dragon scene on the picture of a dragon, means having the many shapes, and legs, and scales, and head, and teeth, and everything. Dragon has everything that the other animals have. And also fire, the power, and living in the space, and sometimes at bottom of the ocean and somewhere, and this is dragon means, dragon is a real symbol of supernatural power which human beings possess. Not only human beings, but also human world possess. So that is the dragon, symbol of the dragon, symbol of existence. Symbol of existence is very strange, and you don't understand it, but it's really powerful. And if you practice with a sincere effort, sincere heart, anyway, your capability, your knowledge, your talent comes up just like the spring water gushing out from the ground constantly. So that's why you can't believe it, but it exists. So that's why this is a dragon. They express that part of the human existence as a dragon.
And then where does it exist? That is in the sea. That means human life. But in the sea, under sea means not in the human world. We can see in the space and not time, but under the sea means somewhere. Okay, we don't know. But it exists. Dragon exists under the sea means that very majestic brilliance of existence exists under the sea somewhere. Even though you don't see it. That's why Dogen says there is a place called Dragon Gate in the sea. And also that dragon sees and the place where dragon exists is not something different from human world, the same world. So, lots of waves, small waves, some big waves, frequently rise. But nevertheless, if you live there and if you pass through that one, you become a dragon. Means somewhere, sometimes, somewhere, anyway, well, if you pass through that opportunity and time, then you can have really religious transformation. From where it starts, dragons exist exactly right in the middle of practice needed. Practice itself. So practice itself is very fast, working dynamically, and also it's quiet. And also you don't understand it, because you just participate in right in the middle of practice itself, so you don't see it. But you are there, that's why you're working. You work on practice. You move anyway in really deep course of practice itself. So you don't know it, but it's work. So that's why if you go through, anyway, you can have opportunity to transform your life completely at the 360 degrees. How do you do it? Without practice, you cannot do it. No matter how long you think it, no matter how long you analyze or synthesize, it doesn't make sense. So you have to practice. So that is a dragon gate. Human being in the ancient time realized that one. Apparently, human world is really covered, filled with human suffering, and but I don't think this is a total picture of human beings, human world. Still, there is a dragon gate through which you can transform your life. But they don't understand because they don't deal with the practice as it is and in the proper way. That's why they don't understand. So anyway, you should deal with the practice in proper way, and you should continually keep that kind of practice, and then you can really transform. So that's why, anyway, in the Dragon Gate, when you get into the Dragon Gate, there is nothing special, anyway, food, clothes, and housing, not different, daily routines, human ignorance, emotion, intellect, all go in the same way as other worlds have. But there is Dragon Gate. You can go through. That is what? That is monastery. Dogen Zen says monastery. That monastery is not particular place. The monastery alive is alive in your everyday life, but it's very difficult to realize monastery in everyday life. That's why we set up monasteries in certain place, in certain particular and certain particular situation. And then we want to awaken the people to realize this is a monastery extending into everyday life. You can see it in your life, but we don't see it. That's why we create this phrase and invite practice. We go back to the human world anyway. So that is a monastery. So Rinzin says that is a monastery, or in Japanese, soring. Soring is a bush. Thicket. Thicket is thicket and thicket. Thicket and bush. You know, all things, many things exist in peace and harmony. So that is a dragon gate you can pass through. That is a monastery. But in your everyday life, there is a monastery. So realize it, find it. That is your practice. But it's very difficult, and that's why we anyway invite, we create this place, particular place. And then when you come here, then they practice, but you don't believe it. You don't believe the practice and the Buddha Dharma, Buddha's way, and you don't realize how much you grow. You don't realize it. Because we do the same thing. Eating, talking, and wearing clothes, same thing. But exactly if you do it, you do wrong. It is sure. It is no doubt. You can do it. So, well, that's why Dogen Zen says, although it is the same other shoe, it is the same, although it is the same others do, to protect ourselves from cold and starvation, having a meal with saving it and wearing the robe, we become a monk. That means there is a little bit difference. The difference is shaving it and wearing the robe. That is just a little bit difference. And wearing the lakasu, and when you come here, and a little bit of difference, you are human beings, are chosen among the all teaching beings. So you are different. Complete difference, but apparently you do the same things, others do, protecting from the cold and the starvation, and keeping your bodies in good shape, and if you become sick, and you lie down and go to bed, and etc., same thing. And when you have a meal with a chance and a sutra, that's the difference, okay? What is the problem here? We have a meal in the same as the other two, but what's the difference? Where to eat the meal from us? Mindfulness. In a concrete way, a little bit different. How can you, how does single mindedness and full devotion to money? Eating, You didn't even know what?
Tempting.
Because sure, tempting. Quite different in the inviting in the way the 10 names of Buddha. Quite different in teaching. Well, for instance, look at human life. Usually, we have a breakfast and the lunch and the dinner and the sakis, that way of having a meal is quite different from what you do now, since things are. Always thinking of your job and the next moment and watching the time and rushing into the office and sometimes thinking of some problems and sometimes robbery and the robbery for the policeman and thinking policeman all the things during the eating the breakfast itself. But you have breakfast and lunch and dinner with the Buddha saying, Buddha. Don't believe that, not only thinking, okay? You do actually. Brush up, chant, and have a meal. Okay? That practice is what? If you jump into that practice, what do you call this practice? Dropping it. That's true. It's common action in your human eyes. It's common, it's very common human action. Because have a meal with mouth. Not something special. With the mouth, with the thinking, with the human body, eat the meat. So in common sense, exactly the same. But that the practice we do, so-called human action, is different because we're really with wholeheartedness and jumping into where? Buddha's world. Jesus. Buddha's world means you become exactly one with that not only the meal you can see in front of you. You have to, through that meal, you can participate in whole universe, functioning of the whole universe. That is called wholeheartedness.
Can you say the same about anything that is performed with some ceremony and some attention?
Sure. Ceremony? Yes. Ceremony? Right. Ceremony must be dealt with in that way. But in common sense, if you see the ritual, at that time, that ritual becomes very common sense of want to say formality. Okay. Just like washing your face, you know. And wearing a dress, comb your hair, same thing. The ritual you do is quite different. You have to do with the ritual from moment to moment. With wholeheartedness means through that ritual, you can participate whole universe anyway. You don't believe it. But this is, anyway, so-called practice, okay? Yogi, okay? Maintain, you have to maintain that practice, which is called refined action. Okay? Refined action. That is called practice. And then, that refined action is nothing but Dragon Gate. You go through, you immediately, simultaneously, you transform. But you don't see it. Because it depends on your karmic life. Karmic life doesn't mean something wrong. It's really the something. So it really takes time. So whatever you see the karmic life, these four very bad or good, anyway, if you go through the Dragon Gate, whatever kind of karmic life you have, anyone, without exception, you can transform into, anyway, Dragon. That's why Buddha Dogen mentions always practice a day, becomes Shakyamuni Buddha. Shishodi and last chapter. The Shishodi, you know that? Shishodi in Master Dogen. Dogen's information about the Yogi. Continuous practice, maintenance in Yogi. Practice defined in action.
How do you spell
Yogi? Yogi, Yogi. Yogi is practice. G is maintain or preserve. In English we say continuous practice. That is a Dragon Gate. So Dragon Gate, if you say Dragon Gate is kind of a legendary and the story and the legendary term and also very mysterious. But I don't think it is a mysterious story. It is a human story. And that's why Dogen Zenji says in the last, that says, these regulations are body and mind of the ancient Buddhas. Respect and follow them. Okay? These regulations means practice, okay? Please walk quietly. Don't talk loudly near to Zendo, etc. This is a practice. If you practice and following the regulation, and then you can create the Dragon Gate, and you can passively mediate it, then you can turn yourself into the Dragon. But if you accept this one as a regulation in moral sense, you don't accept it. But the ancestors, Buddhas, anyone practice like this. That's why regulations are not merely usual regulations. This is Buddha's body and mind. That's why the regulation. So that's why we have to anyway continually observe the regulations of the monastery, because you can drop your dew on the grass, onto the grass, so-called Dragon Gate. This is a practice which is alive from moment to moment. What kind of grass you want to put, you want to drop, your dew drop, onto what? Very common narrow sense of the narrow understanding your practice or universal practice, sense of universal sense understanding of our practice. At that time, through that practice, you can turn into the Dragon. But if you don't, it's common human action by which you can create same samsaric world again and again. That's what I want to say today.
Understand where is that story of the Dragon Gate in
my mind? I don't remember exactly. That is my memories and then translated.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember exactly. Do you have a question? And also Dogen Zenji mentions, you remember in the Vimonchi practice is like walking in the mist. than before you are conscious of it, to get dressed wet. That is a practice. So this is all practice anyway. If you don't see the when, how you pass through your bondage. But believe it or not, all you have to do is you are already in the mist, so you should just walk in the mist. Continue. It seems to be ridiculous, do it. Because no particular result you can see. But no other way in order to, there is no other way to be free from your karmic life or evils and etc. than to accomplish this continuation of the practice like a foolish and an idiot. That is called Dragon Gate. If I say foolish and the idiot, kind of putting the human beings down, that's why we don't use so much. So we use Buddha's practice, Buddha's way, Buddha Dharma.
It's like when you look back, you can see the movement, you can see growth through practice. But as you say, like when you're at the middle of it, it feels up to you, but things like that. So do you like just hang on to that?
Sure. Come on. But someday you can immediately get right in the middle of that the world's emptiness. So then you can feel empty.
Yeah.
Means nothing. But nothing means nothing. Nothing is nothing. But if you are exactly right in the middle of nothing, nothing really works. So you can feel, oh, this is a so-called nothing. Nothing is not exactly nothing in vain. Nothing is something alive, totally. So if you touch it directly, it's what? So that is so-called enlightenment, we say so. So if you not only hanging on always, you know, just the practicing and then you can experience. If you practice in proper way, you can experience. Pretty sure. But different ways people can experience. Immediately, like a flashing light, a flash of lightning, or sometimes slowly, sometimes a few flashing of lightning, not big. Some person experiences big flash of lightning. Some don't notice. But later, 10 years later, if you look back or look back over your life, and you can see, just like this. But anyway, important point is not only the hanging on, but a hang on and then you do it with wholeheartedness. That is step by step. Your step must be very stable. That is most important. Not only the hanging on, everyone hanging on, in effect. Hanging around, even though you don't practice. In the human, all human beings are hanging around. Hanging around the truth. Because they are entitled to live in this world. So do zazen is exactly, everyone do same zazen, but it's different, appearing in a different way. Someone just hanging around, hanging around the zazen. Someone exactly jumping to, that's pretty good. Quite different, even though in common sense you say, well, no difference, but it's really quite different. That's why Dogen Zen says in Tang Zen, it is just like a gap between heaven and earth. If you slip off just a proper way, you can create that gap. That's like heaven and earth. But spiritually, you don't believe it. But spiritually, you can create that gap simultaneously. And then if you continue to do it, finally you can catch up. Huge gap. That is called human suffering. Human suffering. Any other questions?
Already in the
mist,
then all the circumstances of our lives
have a mist. The mist is just an example. Mist means exactly the same as a dragon gate. It's just a dragon gate. You don't understand what the dragon gate, you don't understand the opportunity and time through which you can anyway become dragon. Exactly, you don't understand what is appropriate opportunity, what is a favorable opportunity and time we can get into. No, we don't understand. But if you practice in appropriate ways, practice becomes exactly Dragon Gate, but we don't see it. So that's why Dragon Gate is something like a mist. It's exactly mist. But not vague. It's vague according to human sense, but it exactly exists. It is very clear. So no mist. No mist. That's why if you walk, you just get wet. Where and practice. If you don't practice it, you know, even though you're just aware, it's not good enough. Aware is not good enough. Aware, if you're aware, you have to practice. You have to live alive. That is what? Working means a practice. Exactly practice. You must be practiced there. Okay? And then that is so-called real awareness. Real awareness. But usually people aware, experience awareness, kind of still, that awareness still maintained in the conscious level. Conscious level. So that awareness that's why most of people are hanging around. Hanging around the, both the Buddha or the universe itself. But a new awareness is that which causes you to get into directly the universe or whatever. So that is a process, a cool process, without process. You cannot stay awareness. So awareness is exactly a practice.
I have a question from yesterday when you told the story that you said I was going to be in two relationships. When you said that the freedom you have to equal devotion never comes back to your teaching.
That is an example, okay. That's the example.
And from what you said today, both the teacher and the student are equally dragons. Is that not
true? Sure, that's true. Yeah. But teacher is already dragons, and the teacher has a lot of experience more than the students, and just like between the relationship between the mother and the child. They are dragons. They can go through, they are entitled to pass through the dragon gate, sure. But it's quite different. Parents are parents.
But at the same time, isn't because each person is finally authority, his own inner voice, the connection to the universe, his own personal integrity.
I beg your pardon, I don't understand.
Now, if you're a dragon, then doesn't that mean that your own voice, your own body, mind speaks to you?
Mm-hmm.
Your own connection with the universe manifests itself.
Sure. You have to.
In your wisdom and on your body.
Yeah.
And so if that.
Let me say, when you become a dragon, and then you say that individually, you have to come back to the individual or the responsibility.
I'm just talking about a situation in which your own sense of integrity and your conflict with what your teacher is asking of you.
Sure, that is. You already see the relationship between the teacher and the students in terms of a common sense. So you don't understand relationship between the teacher and the students in terms of if you really trust or believe us in the person as a Buddha, then you anywhere bow and you can receive his teaching completely, and then you really find your own spiritual security through this. In terms of that spiritual security you have had through that teaching, whatever happens in the samsaric world, so-called trust or not trust, because something happens, or even the teaching. Dogen says, even the Buddha doesn't teach, even the Buddha's patriarchs are not perfect. So they are still human beings, though, so you shouldn't believe completely. Still human beings. But what I want to tell you is, anyway, you can really trust, but even in teaching, in the teaching or in the human life, there is something happens. So-called wrong teaching and not perfect teaching and not perfect personality, etc. But nevertheless, you can justify. And then you can say your spiritual security tells you that even though you fall into the hell by teachers' teaching and teachers' misdoing, hell is a comfortable place for me.
So there's also the question asked in San Francisco now, what is your responsibility to protect your children?
Well, I don't, still with it takes time, so already complicated situation happens in the...
Well, that's just one situation,
and
then the larger situation,
students and teachers, other students and teachers. So, wherever teacher is, teachers are your teachers. So, you can still do it. The wrong one. But That's what you mean? Well, what?
No, I meant responsibility
to give your teacher feedback. Sometimes you cannot do it. Just let him be alone, you know, for a while.
You think that's best?
Well, maybe it's best now. Yes, students must be quiet. Apparently, it seems not to have a relation, but in the deep sense, you can have it. So, still, opportunity will shoot in the future. So, in this, under such a complicated situation, you cannot anyway maintain to your teachers and exactly near you. So, you should send him to somewhere. You understand? For instance, in the history of Buddhism in China, the government tried to destroy Buddhism, you know. And all Buddhist monks returned to the, you know, usual life. And Zen monks also returned to their usual life. But still, they maintained the spirit of Zen practice. So they left anyway, temple, anyway, but then spirit of Zen remained in their life. So when the situation come back into the normal, then monks, all monks come back. That's the history of China, Buddhism in China and Spain.
So you're saying that your teacher wouldn't be perfect. Your teacher's Buddhist ancestors aren't perfect. And so you have to realize that they're not perfect. But still, because you fully devote yourself to them, that you would follow them to their perfection.
You support. You share. If you see the lack of a personality, lack of a behavior teaching, you should support. You should be perfect. You should be an important person who tries to fit up. Fit up means you should supplement, you should give a supplement. You should make a supplement. Help. You understand? Instead of criticizing. Most of people criticize, you understand? You are important. Each person is important anyway. If you become a disciple of a teacher, and you always see the teachers as a human being who have a lot of karmic life and the lack of personality, and then you criticize, that is a perverse, do you understand? Because why do you become students and teachers? And then why do you want to have a relationship between teachers? And you know, if you criticize, you already kick him out. It's the same thing. But if you want to continue have a relationship between the teacher and student anyway, whatever kind of things you can realize in him, in her, anyway, you try to support. Because you are a teacher. You are a person who can take a responsibility for making him teacher. Pretty good teacher. And teacher, that attitude is very important for students. But we don't do it. And do you understand what I mean?
Saying that way is different than how I thought you were saying. So you still should support the teacher, but the student in some situations might have to support the teacher by not doing exactly what the teacher thought in some was best. In some situation, it might be best for a fully devoted student not to follow the teacher's advice or not to follow the teacher's lifestyle. Is that right?
I can't catch up.
In some situations, it might be the best thing for a fully devoted student to do.
In some situations.
Mm-hmm. Not to do what the teacher thought would have said. The student would have to make the decision.
In some situations. Well, what do you mean, in some situations?
The teacher says that for the student to be a good Zen student, that the student has to rob banks or something like that. I mean, something bizarre kind of things like this seem to happen. So mm-hmm. then the student could have to say, well, I'm fully devoted to you, but because of my full devotion, I'm not going to rob banks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So would that be a fully devoted student? Or would a fully devoted student always say, you told me to rob banks, so I will rob banks, even though I'll go to jail. I'll be happy in jail.
That sounds like nothing.
You know, the... Yes, the if you completely transform your life at 360 degrees, okay, and then you can really devote yourself to teaching and to a person who teaches you, educates you. And then you are not rubber. So, teacher can accept. For instance, you know the story in Agamemnon got here. But the story is that one of the Buddha's disciples, he used to kill the person 999. Angrimala, do you remember? And then he tried to kill the mother, and then Buddha stopped him killing his mother. And then he became a Buddha and a disciple. Look at that story. He became a Buddha and then a disciple. In India, they have customs to ask the monks to pray for the pregnant woman in order to have delivery incessant. And when that animal, they had the practice of begging, one of the families asked him to pray and chant, perform the service for the woman. But unfortunately, he immediately reflected upon his past life, so he thought, I was not good enough for you. So he was very irritated, confused, and then he went back. He was just teaching in Buddha Shakyamuni. And Buddha, the asked him, what should I do? Should I chant? Should I pray for her or not? He said, yes, you can pray for her. Tell her, you should tell her, I didn't kill anyone in the past. So you should go and pray. Do you understand? Means he completely transforms his life 360 degrees, passing through the Dragon Gate in India. The past is past, but that past life, his past life is not an object of the criticism. Other people deal with it. That is, he has to deal with. Okay? But anyway, at the certain moment, anyway, he turns, he transforms his life at the 360 degree, and that time the whole world becomes Buddha inward. And then, if you look at the past life, his past life through this Buddhist world, it's one Buddhist world. It's not the killing somebody anyway, because the thanks to his karmic life, and it causes him to transform at 360 degrees. There is a Buddha anyway. So that's why Buddha says, you can tell to her, you didn't kill anybody. So just go and pray. That is complete, you know, compassion. Buddhist compassion, do you understand? But usually we criticize past life. Skipping them, pulling out the drug, carpet. Do you understand? You try to use, from moment to moment, you have to walk through all the future. Means that moment to moment, you have to stand up right here. But if you criticize the past life, you are a person who pulls the carpet on what you stand up. That's why criticism usually destroys the person. Do you understand? But a Buddha knows pretty well his past life, and also his present life, and also his future life, what he wants to be. So he completely sees all his life through the Buddha's world. His life transforms at 360 degrees. This says he must be very compassionate. So, is that all right? Is it to your question?
I think we're on a little bit
different.
I'm talking more about trying to get at the point of authority, I guess, you know, spiritual authority. At what point does a student have to, for the good of the teacher and the teaching, not necessarily follow the teacher's
One of the things that struck me about the situation and the difficulties of that is that, number one, I don't know all of the students, but I have not heard any students say that he ever told him to do anything that they felt destroyed by. They didn't think that he was living what he told them to do. But I've never heard any of the students say that they thought that he gave them the wrong kind of advice, which is just an interesting thing. But another thing that that struck me is that when he was talking to us, this was before he was confronted about this situation. He was talking to us in about February, and he was telling us that he was telling us about Brother Anderson, and he was saying that he was very impressed by Reb because Reb was only interested in practice. Reb wasn't interested in the businesses, he wasn't interested in peace conferences. Reb just wanted to practice. And Baker Roshi was very impressed by that. So what he was telling us about his life at that time, and like I said, this was long before, this was a couple months before this confrontation happened. He was saying that he felt like his life was, he had too much stuff going on, and he didn't have time to practice, and he didn't have time to teach. And he really admired Reb because Reb was able to just practice and just put himself into practice and say,
I'm just not interested. And evidently, Red did this in a way that was not threatening in all situations, because at that point, Mr. Roshi and Red had a very, very nice relationship. And it seems to me like, in addressing your question, like, it seems to me like maybe, you know, what Roshi was saying about just living your life in the best way, not to necessarily confront your teacher, but to really live out what you know your teacher deeply wants, even if your teacher isn't able to express that, is obedience to your teacher, but not at superficial level, but at a deep level. So that the idea of Roshi told me to go and rob a bank. Maybe there is some other way of being obedient to him besides actually going and physically robbing a bank. You know, maybe I could laugh it off or something. You know, something like that. It isn't exactly. We'll get some money in a different way.
Take a subtle point in our life, when there's people in it, you know, that have a good way to deal with how they do it. Teachers, you know, challenges that. But at what point am I, you know, doing basically what I want to do instead of touching you to teach you? You know, I know better. So that's a real starting point.
That is the relationship thing. I think we're all looking for some sort of fixed pattern or something that we have in the relationship with something, but it's a dynamic thing. So it's real hard to say exactly what it's like in a particular time. I think that is the relationship with that.
That's the point.
But ego could be involved in just following the teachers, whatever the teacher says, that could be an ego holding and letting go, not following what the teacher says.
Yourself in the same mind, so that the meaning is
I don't know how can I say that about the authority, but I always mention about climbing the mountains, and you can see the relationship between the mountain and the climate.
same approach to the relationship between the teacher and student. Exactly. You don't understand it. Because mountain is a mountain's authority. You have your own authority. But you have to go beyond authority and go beyond your authority, and then totally you have to be one with the mountain's life. That is what, day by day you have to climb the mountain, don't you think? And then through this climb the mountain, you understand what authority mountain has. And also what authority you want to emphasize about you. But completely go beyond. You can go beyond. And then you can really understand the relation between you and the mountain. And then at that time, you cannot stop climbing the mountain. You just continue climbing the mountain. That is called non-intentional Dogen Zen. Just to climb the mountain. Whatever people say, it's lifting your life, it's dangerous, or it's comfortable, or famous, or not. Anyway, it's just a criminal. Because mountains like this, you are mountains. Well, this is so-called something transmitted between the teacher and the student. And it's so-called if you think it, the natural question comes up. So I don't mean that's why you really devote every day, but simultaneously you have to practice also being covered. Sobered? Sober. You have to be sober. Anyway, complete devotion and simultaneously you must be sober. You can wake up anyway. It's pretty hard, huh? I don't know how to say, but you devote, drink much sake, but you have to sober. Anyway. It's all right to drink beer and wine, but don't you know, loud bicycle, you know, that is called complete intoxication. So you drink sake, but anyway, sober. So I think you do particularly religious according to religious, you know, enthusiasm, you know. Anything crazy things comes up naturally. Before your consciousness. That is a speech of life. Natural speech of life is very vague and you don't understand. Between the right understanding or religious understanding, you don't understand between. What's the difference? You don't. Particularly when you become really, when you have a really religious enthusiasm. Completely devoting somebody or devoting religion. You become a complete intoxicated. Please. Because you put the somebody on a pedestal, I told you before, anyway. And then teacher also easily puts on the pedestal and become a holy, as a holiness, something like that. Do you understand? The holiness is fine, teacher is fine, but teaching himself also must be sober. That is everyday's practice in you. Because constantly people who want to be set on the pedestal constantly, because this is a teacher. Okay, do you understand? This is a teacher. That's why you have to complete devotion, obedience. But simultaneously, teacher and student has to be sober. This is our other practice. Constant, okay? And then there is, naturally, there is a what is real relation, you can understand. Just like a climbing the mountain. Okay?